Before we open God's word this afternoon, let us pray. Our great God and Father in heaven, we come before thee again in this afternoon hour. We have gathered ourselves round about thy word and look to thee for instruction and wisdom, the timeless wisdom that never grows old and that always rejoices our hearts to hear of thy good news and thy love toward mankind and thy purpose for us as thy children. We pray that thy word would be able to speak to us each individually through thy Holy Spirit, and that thy name would be honored and glorified in our midst, not only in the songs that we sing now and the time that we dedicate unto thee for worship and meditation, but also the fruits of our being together, that they would be pleasing unto thee and that they would be honoring to thee in all ways. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. With the Lord's help, I would desire to read from the second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter number 4. With God's help, I'd like to read the entire chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul writes to Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears? And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Antichicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the house of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Read the entire chapter. The Lord bless the reading of his word. May we all. In our prayer that we uttered together, we ask the Lord for a testimony that we may be able to say with Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This was Apostle Paul's desire for himself and for Timothy and for all those who he taught and preached to, that they might also have a testimony of faithfulness, obedience to the Lord. And he gives this charge to Timothy to be faithful in the ministry that he had received. Even though there would come a time when people would not endure sound doctrine, would not have ear to hear, there was still something that Apostle Paul knew must be spoken of the Word of God and of the Gospel of Jesus Christ that needed to go forth whether people wanted to hear or not. Some would hear. Some would turn. Some would repent and find salvation. And so it's very worthwhile that the servant of God would stay focused upon the purpose and the reason why they have been called and what God expects them to do. Apostle Paul says, I have fought a good fight. Every wrestler or boxer knows that there is a goal. Every sports athlete knows that there is a goal to what they're pursuing. So overcome the enemy for the wrestler. I have finished my course, he says. Every runner in the race knows that there is a goal and there is a finish line in what they're pursuing. And every believer must know the goal of the Christian life so that all of the other things that this life includes can fall into its proper place. And Apostle Paul says regarding his occupation and his efforts, he says, I have kept the faith. That is the goal of the Christian life. A goal is something in the race or in the sports that all of those who are participating are aiming to achieve. And so too, all of those who have embraced our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are aiming to keep the faith. We are aiming to preserve the words of Jesus Christ and his teachings. We have within our minds a vision of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross and how he has lived in sacrifice and service. And Jesus said, as ye do this, as you take communion even, do it in remembrance and show the Lord's death till I come. Make a demonstration of what God has done for mankind through your life and through your faith. Live a faith that is consistent with the teachings of Jesus Christ. Embrace a faith and keep a faith that is consistent with the life and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Preserve that memory so that those who are observing you might know and believe that God is real, that God is at work. This is a great goal and a purpose for the believer. And Jesus Christ spoke about the purpose of God in the Sermon on the Mount. He said that ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And he said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Just as a man would not put a candle underneath a bushel, God does not do that either. He desires that those who have embraced the faith would testify of his goodness and of his wisdom to all this world, to powers and principalities, might be made known the wisdom of God through the church. Jesus told his disciples and all who followed, whosoever will follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That is an aim that everyone who is a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ is called to achieve. We're called to self-denial and a devotion and faithfulness to Jesus Christ. When we see our life working towards, contributing to, being a part of the aim and purposes that God has, just like in any game or any sporting event, the goal gives purpose to the things that are being done. There's a reason why the players are doing the actions that they're doing. There's a reason they run so hard. There's a reason why they jump so high. So too with the Christian life and the purpose that the Lord has given for us to keep the faith. It gives life and all of its tasks a purpose. For example, Apostle Paul, he was a tent maker. And before he was converted, he perhaps made tents. And he made them for his own gain and his own reasons. But afterwards, he could use it. He could use it as an opportunity to sit with others and talk about the word, what it meant. He could talk as he's sewing the pieces of fabric together about a home that he's waiting for in heaven. And he could fill a very mundane task with purpose and joy and meaning. We can take the times when we're working at home on something that's very mundane and recognize that this is something that's advancing and promoting the family and the function and helping those who I love as an expression of faithfulness and love for the Lord. There's no joy when there isn't a purpose, when there isn't a goal. We can imagine how odd it would be, those who like to play soccer, if somebody decided that their purpose was to keep the ball all the time from everybody else and hold on to it as long as they could. The time would run out, the score would be zero, and they would have nothing to show for it. How about life? What purpose can we have that would cause us to use up all of our energy, be tired at the end of the day, and still have nothing to show for it? There's much. There's so many pursuits that lack any lasting value. The pursuit of possessions, of comforts, relationships. Some of those things have their fitting place, but as a reason for living and as a goal and a purpose, leave us empty-handed. Just like we heard this morning, all of the pursuits and dedication and efforts that are given without charity would leave us empty-handed. Without a love for the Lord and a faith in Him, and that being the reason and the purpose behind our living, we will end up empty-handed. But the Lord does not want us to live that way, without purpose and with a vain expectation. But He has a hope of eternal life that is offered to all those who would embrace His calling and His purpose for us, and the faith that Jesus Christ had taught about and demonstrated to us. And we're called to pursue that with all that we have, even as Apostle Paul did. We see in this chapter that there were others who Paul knew that had decided to leave him, having loved this present world. They had lost the focus. They had lost the meaning behind their service. They had left. And if we are not careful, if we are not in prayer, the adversary of our souls would like the same end for us. He knows the things that we struggle with, the things that will work for us in terms of temptations. And he will never stop in seeking to distract us, seeking to cause us to stumble. And so just like the one who fights in a fight, that Paul mentions here, I fought a good fight. Those that are wrestling, they're always finding opposition. And we need to see that the Word gives us the guidance and the wisdom that we need to fight a good fight, a good fight of a Christian life against the enemy of our souls, against the one who wants to oppose us from the goal. The devil, our flesh, this world, will all stand in opposition to God's work in our heart and our life. But the Word teaches us to submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Apostle Paul told the believers in Ephesus to take up the shield of faith. To take up the shield of faith whereby we may quench the fiery darts of the wicked. That we might overcome, having fought a good fight. A fight that is worth being a part of. Apostle Paul also spoke in Corinthians to the believers there that there's no temptation that has come to you. In the opposition that comes to you, it's not any different from that which comes across everybody. And God will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And so when the temptation rages hard and strong and is hot and the battle is raging, our faith teaches us that the Word reminds us that God can provide all that we need so that we can endure, that we can go through, that we do not need to seek a different way of escape, but seek the Lord in prayer for His way of escape, that we wouldn't look to submit to the temptation so that the pressure would be off, but that we would look to the Lord and trust that His grace is sufficient for us, and then embrace and love Him more than the thing that we're being tempted. And so fight a good fight. Overcome the enemy. Run the race with patience. And finish the course, keeping the faith with God's help. For we see that it's not by our own strength or our own wisdom that we engage in this purpose. No, the Lord is working with his children and is willing to work and to provide his Holy Spirit unto those that obey him. For Apostle Paul says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. This is our hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is how we can overcome. This is how the word can be fulfilled in us. Only by the Lord. And it is a wonder that he is willing to be active and to have his hand working in our lives, that we can fulfill the purpose that he's called us to. It's not easy. It's not easy in this flesh. There's a lot of things that the Lord asks of us and calls us to that we wouldn't naturally do on our own. Actually, our flesh is very much opposed to the virtues and ideals that the Lord calls us to. That's very true for a lot in life. But when we have a purpose and when we have a goal that we are seeking, we can often do things that we wouldn't otherwise do. Imagine if someone told you that you need to stare at 32 pieces of wood for an hour or two. You would think, why? That seems so silly. But then when you realize somebody has set up a chess table and they are inviting you to play, then you can see how you could stare at 32 pieces of wood and focus and give your attention to something that would seem otherwise so mundane. The word teaches us that we are to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. To understand the scriptures, things that have been written thousands of years ago. And at the surface level, it would seem that, why would I spend my time to do that? But when we know the power of the scripture, and we know that there's strength in the scripture so that we can meet the goal and objective that God has placed for us, then we can have renewed focus. It's not just an idle thing to do. There's a reason why we memorize scripture. There's a reason why we spend time in prayer. Because the Lord has called you and me to complete devotion to Jesus Christ and faithfulness to his word and to his life. And without these things, we would be powerless. We would be so weak. But the Lord has called us. And the goal that he has given us gives us purpose, gives us focus, motivates us to do things that otherwise we wouldn't have done on our own. But because we love the Lord, because we do want to be faithful to him, we do want to keep his commandments, and we do want to demonstrate the power of his resurrection and the effect of what his death has changed in my life, we do these things. And we practice. And we're patient. Just like the marathon runner that practices, works, and in due time, reaps in joy, and considers it nothing, all the work that had gone before. We all owe to the Lord all of the credit for everything that he has provided to us. We owe him our worship. We owe him our faithfulness and our dedication day by day. No one will force us. just like no one would force the athlete to practice day in and day out. They do it by choice. And the best do it the most. And when you work with somebody, maybe in the workplace, that really knows their skill, that has taken the time and has really perfected their craft, or someone that is in athletics that just excels in what they do, if they're not proud about what they do, it's such a joy to participate with them. It's encouraging, it's invigorating when they're showing the enthusiasm that they have for this passion that they love and this goal that they have dedicated their life to. And you begin to share in that. I believe that also happens for believers when we come together and we share with one another the joys and the sorrows that the Lord is bringing us through. And we can see that there's a desire to be faithfully dedicated to the Lord no matter what. And we edify one another through that. We help each other and we bless one another. But it's a very different situation. I just remember when we used to play volleyball as little kids, and there would always be maybe one, usually a girl, that didn't want to touch the ball. And they didn't want to play. They didn't want to participate in the goal. And the game usually stopped really quick when the ball came close to them. And it kind of ruined the game. They weren't buying into the goal. They weren't participating towards the aim of what they were participating in. But what a joy when we're all working together, when we're all contributing and aiming towards dedication to Jesus Christ and faithfulness to his word and to his sacrifice for us. May we edify and build one another up as we seek to voluntarily participate. When we choose to make God's goal and objective for our life, when we say, not my will anymore, I want to embrace the Lord's will. And the way that I conduct myself in my business dealings, the way that I speak to my friends, the way that I adorn myself, the way that I think about others and treat others and pray for others, they will all come under the purpose and the goal of being dedicated to Jesus Christ, of conforming to his commands, and of reflecting the values of his sacrifice, his love, and his selfless nature. That is one of the bright spots in this chapter. The testimony of one who has kept the faith. The one who has made God's mission and goal for his life. May that also be for each and every one of us. The Lord is able to deliver us from the nets and the entanglement of every evil work and selfish motive, to set us on a course that is right, that is pure, that is holy, and is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And in each step of the way, he is able to provide us the light that we need to take the next step and to preserve us unto his heavenly kingdom. Unto his name be all the honor, the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.
The Apostle Paul mentioned that he fought a good fight, and he encouraged young Timothy in the first epistle to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto also thou art called. He was instructing Timothy to fight that good fight as well. And there are instructions there in Timothy about how to fight that fight. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And so we are encouraged to fight that good fight. Make it meaningful in our lives that we would serve the Lord. But then we are called to something even greater than that, that we would encourage each other in the fight that we are in against this common enemy that we have. The apostles in their time, it says that the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which they possessed were his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all, and there was nothing that lacked among them. And so we fight individually the battles that we have against our enemy, but we encourage each other in this battle that we have in common against this common enemy, because we all want to be together in heaven above. In Malachi, it also speaks that, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before them, before him, for them that feared the Lord, and they that thought upon his name." And so it was that they were gathered together just as the early disciples were gathered together. These were gathered together, and they were speaking one with another. And surely, as believers come together and speak one with another, we are encouraging one another in this fight that we are fighting to remain faithful to the Lord, to have his word before us, to live faithfully for him, to encourage each other in our way. And we see it often that when you are victorious in your battle, well, that encourages me as well to be victorious in the battles that are my way, and that I would not give up, but that I would endure. And so we are here to help each other and build each other up, edify one another in this fight that we are fighting for. For it's not for something such as that we would win a game and our points would be higher than our opponent's points. It's far greater than that. It is of eternal value. It is of eternal weight. And so let us be encouraged, and let us fight that good fight that the Lord has called us to. Amen.